You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, Waste Connections of Tennessee, and Volunteer Vodka.
Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Monday to you as we come into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Julia Ramsey, as we wait on Cam to get back from Cali. How are we today? Thumbs up from Jules. Cody?
Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Fine Monday afternoon here in our fair city.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I don't know how I'm doing. Got a little bit of a crick in my neck.
You want me to pop it for you?
No. I was upset about my... I had a pretty good weekend outside of the Titans. Like, everything else went pretty good. And a couple of my fantasy teams didn't do so well. But, I mean, it's a long season. You can handle that. But the Titans had me pretty mad for about an hour yesterday. I was able to kind of get over it by like 5 o'clock, but from 3:50 to 4:50, I was in a really bad mood. I'm okay now, but that hour was really bad.
Yeah, I could see where that one would be heartbreaking because they had chances to end it.
Yeah, I would say it wasn't even heartbreaking. It was just really, really frustrating. Like, heartbreaking, whatever. Titans lose to the Colts, water's wet type of thing, right? I mean, it's a pretty close mirror. The parallels are there between Colts, Titans, Vols, Gators. Like, those are pretty similar. That I'm on the wrong end of both of those rivalries, but it's pretty similar. I'm not heartbroken when you lose those games. It's just frustrating thinking, man, you should have been able to do something different, right? You should have known to go for two when you're up 12. You should have been able to stop Treon Harris when he comes in. Maybe don't spike on third and two. Maybe keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry. It's just you find different ways to lose. It's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah, they forced themselves into that fourth down when they spiked it. I was scratching my head with that one, too. I mean, I know the clock was running, but at least...
Usually, Cody, in those situations, they are giving you a 3-yard out to the sideline. Like, the defense is kind of relaxed. Yeah. You can hit a pass and get out of bounds. Either way, like I said, we just invent ways to lose. My teams are on the wrong side of two rivalries. It sucks. It is what it is. I would still trade yesterday's loss for, Andrew Luck retiring 7 years early. So, some Colts fans thought it was funny. Kind of gave it back to me because I laughed at them. And I said, hey, you know, I still feel like... Titans came out on the right end of this for the entire season. So I'm all right. For the next 3 hours or so, we'll talk sports and other things. It's officially college football's opening week as far as I'm concerned. We've been waiting and waiting for college football to get here. This weekend feels like the first college football weekend of the year for me. I don't know how you guys feel. Some really good games this weekend, or at least games that should be good.
Well, they owe us some.
Oh, yeah, they definitely owe us some after this weekend, especially.
Which there ended up being some decent games this weekend. They just didn't really have a lot of stakes.
Yeah, I mean, BYU, USC was fun at 3:30. Watching Virginia come back on Florida State was fun.
Yeah, Western Michigan beating Georgia State 59-10.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts continuing his run to the Heisman, and maybe I don't want to like sound like an idiot at the end of the year, but like I don't see a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I mean, I know a lot of it has to do with Oklahoma, but I mean, Lincoln Riley has him playing the quarterback position better than anybody. And much like I started getting on that wagon for the Titans to draft Kyler Murray early, and people are like, oh no, he's a second round pick, he's not a quarterback, and he's not a professional quarterback, blah blah blah. Jalen Hurts looks like the best quarterback to me in the country. Like, if I was starting to get an idea of who to draft next year in the first round, Jalen Hurts looks like he's that guy. I don't know. Maybe once they start playing some better people, that will change. But so far, he is explosive.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few quarterbacks this year that are putting up some really good numbers. You know, I mean, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is better than Tua and Trevor Lawrence. I mean, those two guys obviously have a lot of weapons around them. So does Jalen Hurts, for that matter. But it's those three, definitely the top of the class. And then Joe Burrow, he keeps putting up huge numbers too.
So college football weekend officially starts on Saturday, as far as I'm concerned. It's about time. Feels good. Even the Friday night game feels like a game of substance, of stakes. They're punting on Thursday again, like we've been talking about. But on Friday, they're giving you number 10 Utah going on the road to USC. That's a pretty good little appetizer to wet the beak on. For college football weekend, week one, as we get ready. Tennessee, Florida. Tennessee picks up its first win of the year against UTC. Did that do anything to get you more excited?
Well, I slept through the first half.
So, no.
I kind of missed all the action.
I mean, Tennessee maybe found some things that worked. It looks like the offensive line finally maybe settling in. Maybe you're kind of getting an idea of who your best five are. I will say watching Tennessee play defense was fun. I preface all this by saying UTC is abysmal. That's one of the worst teams I've seen come in Neyland Stadium in a long time.
Yeah, they were horrible.
But I will say that watching Daniel Batuli play linebacker, it did feel a little comforting. Like, no offense to Hank T, but I prefer my senior to be the guy calling the defense, right? Mm-hmm. Calling the plays. And you saw a couple of those clips that went viral of Batuli smacking a defensive lineman on the ass, like, hey, you're supposed to line up over here. Hey, shift a little bit. Kind of pointing everybody where they're supposed to go. I do think that was a underrated loss from the first 2 weeks, not having Batuli on the field. Maybe his absence actually cost you both of those games. But it's nice to have him back. It's nice to have a, like I said, a senior who's going to be able to go in and help call the defensive alignments and defensive plays in the swamp on Saturday. No offense to Hank T. He's going to be good here, but he is just a freshman learning the defense himself. So that was something that stood out to me. Offensively, like I said, maybe you found your five offensive linemen. Maybe. But they're going to face a test on Saturday unlike anything they've faced so far this year. They're going up against a really, really good SEC defensive line on the road, where the snap counts are a little bit slower. Florida opened up, I want to say, as 12.5-point favorites.
12.5, huh?
Yeah.
I've seen worse.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's getting a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt because Felipe Franks went out injured.
What was Auburn last year? Wasn't that like 16.5 or something?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
I don't either. I'm going to go with 16.5.
Okay. Usually I remember those things. I don't remember that one.
I'm kind of talking myself into it.
Well, I mean, you are going to be going up against a quarterback who hasn't started a game since middle school.
Heard that story before. Everybody was making the jokes about that Saturday night, you know. They're going up against Kentucky looking awful. Got to correct all their mistakes for the Tennessee game. Then, boom, down goes Felipe Franks. Here's the backup.
Yeah.
We've seen this story before.
Yeah, but usually those backups have at least, like, been starters in high school.
Yeah, this guy.
This guy didn't even get to start in high school.
This guy, he's a new guy. Really wish it was in Neyland.
I don't.
Make him come on the road.
I don't. I'd rather be in Gainesville.
Why?
I don't know, but I would rather it be in Gainesville.
I feel like you could at least get some pressure on him with the crowd.
I mean, maybe. Maybe.
Why would you rather the game be in Gainesville?
That way, like, I can turn it off a lot sooner if things go poorly. That way I don't talk myself into going to the game like I did last year.
Well, now that's an advantage, yeah.
Just like, hey, let's throw this on at noon. We'll be at Elkmont Exchange watching the game. I'll get you some gift cards. Come hang out with us on Saturday. We'll come in, eat some lunch, watch Tennessee, Florida. Then we'll fire up Voluntary Reaction, and we'll make a day out of it. I'm glad it's in Gainesville, though.
First time it's been a noon game since 2014.
And we almost won that game.
Yeah. Had a 9-0 lead in the fourth.
Should have won that game.
Yeah.
It's Florida week. Like I said, I think this is the official beginning of college football. We'll unpack Florida the rest of the week. It's just Monday. We'll kind of touch base on everything that happened in the NFL yesterday. We'll recap the college football weekend as well. Winners and losers, all that good stuff. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric on Fan Run Radio. Dexter tweets in, says that Jeremy Pruitt will announce his decision about Bryce Thompson playing until he's done. You know, once he's done with all of his weekly media obligations, PR 101. That's a pretty good theory there. Can't announce on Monday. Then you got to answer questions about it all week.
That's true.
Saturday morning announcement. Let's ride. Looks like Breeze is undergoing surgery, and Adam Schefter saying 6 weeks. So that would put him back on target for, I think, his first game back would then be against the Falcons, which is a big game. Man, the Falcons tried really hard to Falcon that game last night.
Yeah, that was a good one, though. I mean, it really came down to the wire there.
Yeah, that was a fun game, but they tried hard to give it away. They should have won that game going away. The Eagles had pretty much two receivers, like Aguilar and Ertz. That was pretty much the only pass-catching options they had. Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson out, and Carson Wentz took a beating early in that game. You know, they come out of the half, they fumble the opening kickoff of the second half. The Falcons immediately scored a touchdown. That should have been a blowout, but Matt Ryan tried as hard as he could to give that game back to the Eagles. But the Falcons won, and now all of a sudden, Cody, you look around and say, man, that's really the Falcons' division to lose, right?
Yeah, I mean, without Drew Brees, I mean, that offense looked pretty awful yesterday with Bridgewater. So maybe they can win a couple games in there. But, yeah, between Brees, Cam with his struggles, yeah. Jameis with his struggles, I mean, it should be the Falcons' division, without a doubt.
If I'm the Bucks, if I'm a Bucks fan, I probably didn't really care about this at first because, hey, like, you know, what are we going to do? We got Jameis at quarterback. We're not going to do anything. But now that they're 1-1 and Drew Brees is out, they should probably be mad because after this week, Cody, they play the Giants at home on Sunday. After that, it'll be 7 weeks, 49 days before they play in Tampa again. 7 weeks.
Really?
49 days. And they will travel over 20,000 miles in the air, on airplane, before they get back to play a home game in Tampa.
Is too much.
They go all the way across the country to play the Rams. Then they play at the Saints. Then they have to go all the way to London to play the Panthers. Fly back from London. Go to Nashville. Come back. Not that long of a flight. But then they have to fly all the way to Seattle. So they have two West Coast trips to Los Angeles and Seattle, and then one across the pond to London and back.
They got a bye week in there somewhere.
Yeah, they'll have a bye week after the London game. That's usually how that works. But still, that's a lot of traveling. And, you know, like I said, 7 weeks before they get a home game after this Sunday against the Giants. So the schedule, you know, almost knocks out Tampa Bay. If Jameis Winston don't do it, the travel will.
Yeah. And they, you know, I mean, Tampa Bay is, are they 2-0?
No, they're 1-1.
1-1. So I know they beat Carolina.
They could have beaten the 49ers, but they pick six themselves into a loss.
Yeah. So, I mean, they should be 2-1. after the New York game, but I mean, still yet, that's tough to not even have a home game in there.
Yeah.
Till October.
Their one home game is, of course, the game in London against the Panthers. So that,
yeah, and that's not a home game.
That stinks.
That's the furthest travel.
So when you look at Breeze and Cam and their injuries, and you look at the Bucs' schedule, like, there's no excuse for the Falcons not to win this division.
Yeah, there's really not. If they don't win the division, it'll be just a total choke job.
Which Matt Ryan tried his best to choke that game away last night. So when I look at my biggest storylines out of the NFL, number one, injured quarterbacks. You're right about that. Big Ben, Breeze, them being out. Changing of the guard slash two teams that thought they were going to be contenders. Now looking like they might be in trouble. Although Mason Rudolph came in and he didn't play bad. He was okay. He showed some life. He showed some flashes, some athleticism running around. But the defense, man, that's what I'd be worried about. The defense that I thought was going to take a step forward. You know, they spent another first-round pick on a linebacker. I thought the defense was going to take a big step forward, and so far they've gotten shredded by Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. Now, the good news is it's Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. Those are two of the top, you know, six, seven quarterbacks in the league. I'll even say two of the top five quarterbacks in the league. So that's good. The bad news is you are 0-2, and the Ravens are 2-0, and the Ravens look really good.
Yeah, a lot of people are pointing out that they traded Josh Dobbs away to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Dobbs was going to be the backup there behind Mason Rudolph. That was the guy they deemed as the quarterback of the future, or at least the lead backup. So the Steelers will have to go and find someone else. They'll have to go and trade for another guy to or sign a guy to be their backup in case Rudolph gets hurt. But, yeah, that's bad timing. I bet they wish they could have taken that one back and waited a week. That's storyline number one for me. Number two would have to be, Cody, quarterback excellence from Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Both those guys sitting at the top of the NFL right now, they're the only two guys with at least seven touchdowns and zero interceptions.
Yeah, Lamar's had a heck of a start to the year. Ran for over 100 yards yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he has a real chance to run for 1,000 yards as a quarterback. The thought going into the season was, yeah, he'll do that, but he won't be able to throw the ball. So far, that hasn't been the case. He's been throwing it really well, and they've brought a college offense to the NFL, and they've been kicking people's ass with it so far.
Not bad for a running back.
Now, it wasn't as explosive yesterday against the Cardinals, but the offense still moved the ball and did what it needed to do. Although the Cardinals, man, like, I did not think Cliff Kingsbury was going to be the first guy in, I want to say, like, 30 years. I want to say the number's like 74, to kick three field goals inside the 5-yard line while trailing. He's the first quarterback, he's the first coach that's done that in over 30 years. I did not think Cliff Kingsbury was going to be the guy that was scared to go for touchdowns. Three field goals inside the 5-yard line. They moved the ball really well on that Ravens defense. They just couldn't punch it in. They had chances to win that game.
Three field goals inside the five?
Three field goals inside the five, all of them while trailing. So it wasn't one of those situations like, hey, it's 0-0. We want to, you know, we want to get some points on the board and get a good start. It was, nope, they were down in all three games, or all three possessions, excuse me, and kicked a field goal. First coach to do that in 30-something years.
You certainly don't see the Eagles doing that.
No, the Eagles, I mean, the Eagles were aggressive last night. They were down 11 and went 4th-on-4th down.
Yeah,
fourth and five from the five, and I was just like, what are they doing? And then they got it, and it jump-started their team a little bit.
Touchdown and a two-point conversion. Well, they missed the two-point conversion.
Yeah, they missed the two on that one.
Well, they got it, and then they didn't get it.
They came back from commercials, like, actually, he was down. But then they got the second one whenever they took a one-point lead, and then they got the two that gave them a three-point lead before Julio broke their hearts. And then Mahomes, I mean, what else can you say about Mahomes? 443 yards, four touchdowns, and a win over the Raiders. He made NFL history, Cody. No quarterback has ever, in their first 40 games, had six games with at least 300 yards and four touchdowns. Does that make sense? So quarterbacks in their first 40 games, no quarterback ever has had six 300-yard games with four touchdowns. He did it in 19 games.
He did it in one quarter yesterday.
Yeah.
All their points came in the second quarter, which was weird. They didn't score in the first quarter, the third quarter, or the fourth quarter.
They just beat your ass in the second quarter and then coasted the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Only two quarterbacks have ever even done it five times in their first 40 games. That was Dan Marino and Kurt Warner. Mahomes has done it in 19. He can really put that record out of reach. He still has 21 games, obviously, to throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's impressive, you know. I don't really know what else you can say. He's impressive. He's got weapons. That Robinson dude yesterday was catching all those passes.
Where the hell did they get him from?
I don't know. He was connected with him. He connected with Kelsey a few times.
Mecole Hardman had a couple big plays. He had a long touchdown return because of a holding. Like, they just have all these really fast receivers. They're like, hey, we're going to play a different sport than you guys are.
Sammy Watkins, I mean, they, you know,
Sammy
he didn't
Watkins
do a
even
lot
do anything?
Yesterday.
I didn't even see him.
No,
Sammy Watkins did what we expect Sammy Watkins to do, which is frustrate you. He goes off in fantasy when he's on your bench, and then you start him, and he does nothing.
Yep. It's like every now and then he just has a huge game.
You just never know.
Yeah.
They call those guys fantasy whack-a-moles. You just never know when they're going to pop up.
That's Sammy Watkins for you.
There are three quarterbacks right now, Cody, with a double-digit yards per attempt. So three quarterbacks are at least over 10 yards per time they throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes is, of course, one of them. That's no surprise. The other two kind of surprised me. It is not Cam Newton. Especially if you had told me before the year that these two guys would be in the top three. Patrick Mahomes at 10.7. He is in second place. Third place at 10.5 as the one of only three quarterbacks to average double-digit yards per attempt. If you had told me before the year Lamar Jackson was going to do it, I would have been surprised. Obviously, week one, there's some outliers there. You know, they had the long touchdown throws. That kind of helps the stats. So he comes in third at 10.5. Number one at 10.9 yards per attempt. Take a guess. Probably the best quarterback in the NFC right now. At least he's played the best.
Oh, Dak.
Yeah, he's played the best quarterback. He's been the best quarterback in the NFC so far.
Yep, Dak had another big day yesterday.
10.9 yards per attempt. They are throwing the ball down the field, and Dak is being accurate, and they have a good offense. They're balanced.
They're looking good.
Now, granted,
Ezekiel Elliott hasn't done a lot.
He hasn't had to, though.
You're right.
You bring him up to speed. You move the ball through the air, and you save kind of his body. You kind of ease him into it because now they can't run him in the ground. You know, they gave him all that guaranteed money. They need to do what's best for Zeke long term. Now, with the Cowboys, there still is a little bit of the caveat of, hey, it was the Giants and the Redskins, right? So let's wait. Let's see what you do against a real team, and that test is coming.
Yeah, see if you can do that against the Rams.
My third biggest storyline of the week. Coming out of it is just the NFL's beef with the Saints continues.
Yeah, no, they got screwed again yesterday.
Yeah.
And that, which I don't think it would have mattered eventually because, you know, Breeze goes down.
You're right.
They wouldn't have won that game, but they should have had a touchdown there. Would have put them up 10-3.
And I still don't understand how the refs blow that dead. How are we still making that mistake in 2019?
I don't know.
And honestly, like, can you not just say, hey, we looked at the play and, yeah, I know they blew it dead, but no one was catching that guy? Like, it's not like people weren't chasing after him. Cooper Kupp was trying to catch him and couldn't. So, like, hey, I know we blew the whistle, but, yeah, Cam Jordan scored a touchdown. I don't understand how we don't have that technology or how we, like, are still making those mistakes because we have the technology. I don't understand how we're still making those mistakes where fumble, we're going to blow it dead and call an incomplete pass. Even though we've put in the safe systems, we've put in the safety net, Cody, of every turnover is reviewed, every scoring play is reviewed. So we're not even making the coaches challenge it, call it a fumble, and we'll wait and we'll review it afterwards.
Yeah, and then if it's not a fumble, you know, see how the play turns out, and if it's not a fumble, then you can overturn it.
Yeah, there's no harm in letting that guy continue to run the ball without blowing your whistle. I was rooting for the Rams that game. That was one of my, you know, the picks I gave out that I felt confident. I thought the Rams were going to win. I thought the Falcons were going to win. I also had the Falcons win the division, so I was rooting extra hard against the Saints to lose. But, like, even watching that as someone wanting the Saints to lose, I'm like, man, how do you take away that touchdown? How do you not let the play go and just run its course?
Yeah, they really got screwed on that one.
Now, them complaining about it all the time is getting a little tiresome. Like, you have Cam Jordan sitting up there talking about how the guys from Foot Locker, oops, the refs, made another mistake. Like, I mean, that's getting a little tiresome, but at the same time, they have to be sick of it. It's three straight games where not only have they gotten screwed by the refs, but, I mean, they've gotten blatantly screwed by the refs.
Maybe it's a conspiracy.
It might be. Maybe it's payback for Bounty Gate. I don't know.
Yeah, they did really try to hurt some players back in the day.
Yeah. So those are my three biggest storylines of the NFL weekend.
It was a good one. It was a good Sunday. The 1 o'clock games, a lot of those came down to being one-possession games. I was watching on Red Zone yesterday, not to brag, but that's really the only way to do it.
How'd you get Red Zone? Did you,
I can't talk about it.
Legal stream came through for you?
Can't talk about it.
I mean, you brought it up.
Let's just say I watched it on Red Zone. A friend had it.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
The McKinney team with Keller Williams understands that buying or selling a home is more than just...
Lloyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.
Before we dive into some college football, I'm now on officially parental supervision. No, how would you say it? My mom just dropped off my nephew in the radio station, so now we are job shadowing, maybe? So what'd you call it? I mean, I don't want to call it babysitting. He's not a baby. He's 9, getting ready to turn 10 years old. So, I mean, like, not babysitting. He's just job shadowing.
He's trying to figure out which career field he wants to go into.
Yeah, I just don't want to, like, call him a baby because, like I said, he's a mature 9, getting ready to turn 10-year-old.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to go to Monday Night Raw with me tonight.
He's just hanging out outside.
Yeah, he went to a cell phone store here in town to meet Becky Lynch. She was doing an autograph signing at, I want to say, Cricket Wireless. Early turnaround for her because, I mean, I don't know where they were at last night in the WWE pay-per-view, but they're at Raw tonight, you know, in Knoxville at TBA. Are you coming, by the way? I got you a ticket. Are you coming?
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
I don't know. Do you want me to come?
I would love for you to come.
I guess I'll go.
I would like for you to come.
If you'd like for me to go, I'll go.
We'll go to the bar before and I'll buy you some drinks.
I thought you said your nephew's coming. You want to go to the bar with us?
Well, A, if we have to, we can go to like a restaurant. Or I could, you know, find somewhere where we can get the little guy in. He's not old enough to like where they're going to think he's trying to drink, but...
The bar you mentioned to me, I don't know if they'll let him in.
Well, either way, my brother's supposed to eventually link up to get him. Like, my brother's going with us, too. They got their own tickets somewhere else. But, I mean, I'll find something to do with the kid.
All right. I did, between watching the Dodgers last night and watching Sunday Night Football, I did see a bit of that pay-per-view, and I see that guy on your shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Made an appearance.
Yeah, did you see that part of
it? It's very creepy.
Yeah.
At the end, yeah. Looked like a horror film.
Yeah. I don't think he'll be there tonight, but.
Now, what's the deal with him? He's like a schizophrenic character or something?
Something like that.
Just making fun of mental health. Just.
Not making fun of it, no.
Yeah, kind of just making light of it. You turn into a monster, and then you turn into with dolls, and, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess maybe.
I mean, I don't care. I'm just saying.
I guess you kind of summed it up, though, yeah.
Yeah. I saw him on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
The only thing, I don't understand the storylines that are going on. Like, I don't know any of these guys
I'll
wrestling
give you a rundown,
anymore.
Bro. The good news is it's going to kind of be a reset in storylines because there was a pay-per-view last night.
Right.
So now they're going to start new things.
Is there going to be anybody there that I know? Like, is there anybody still in the biz that...
We've had the same conversation every time we talk about wrestling.
I know, but am I going to see anybody...
Like, Rey Mysterio is probably going to be there.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio, huh?
I mean, you quit watching a long time ago, man. Like Cena's not going to be there if that's what you're asking, and Randy Orton's on SmackDown, so he's probably not going to be there.
Will Kane be there?
I'm sure Kane will come out before. Last time they were in Knoxville, he came out before, and like they usually present some type of check. Usually they give him some type of donation to something. Like I think the last time they were here, they gave him like a $10,000, I made that amount up, but like a small $1,000 amount of donation to like Knoxville's first responders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rick mentioned something.
Yeah,
so
they'll come and do something like that probably for Kane. He'll probably be Glenn Jacobs like before and do something to welcome the crowd.
Well, I'll go.
All right.
If you want me to go, I'll go.
Good. It'll be fun. And it's like the Jets and Browns are on TV, bro. Like, are you really wanting to stay home and watch that one?
No, I don't care to watch that at all.
And, you know, alcohol sales in TBA, that's a new thing, right? You can try that out for the first time.
I might stay sober.
Okay. You just want to really soak it in and be able to enjoy. I got you.
Right.
Understandable.
Right. Yes.
Understandable.
That's exactly what I'm hoping to do.
Okay. Understandable. What were your big takeaways from college football? We hit our NFL storylines. What did you think the big takeaways from college were?
One thing I noticed that I didn't care for, I wrote this down in my notes on Saturday, a lot of conservative play calling cost a couple of teams some games.
Okay.
So Pittsburgh, I was watching the noon game, Pittsburgh and Pitt. Did you happen to catch that?
So you're watching Pittsburgh play Pitt.
Pittsburgh and Penn State.
Okay. Pitt, I didn't watch any of that. I didn't watch any of the game. I saw that it was close at one point. I think Pitt had a lead at one point.
Well, it was 17-10. Penn State's up, okay?
Okay.
There's like 4 minutes to go in the game, and Pitt's coach elects to kick a field goal, to attempt a field goal.
Oh, I did see this. They're inside like the 10-yard line, right?
Yeah, they're down there near the goal line. It's 17-10, and he's going to kick a field goal, like 4 minutes left in the game. And he missed. And I just don't understand. First of all, you're relying on a college kicker to hit a field goal in a situation like that. And it makes no sense. You're on the road, you're playing a tough rival, and you still got to get the ball back to have a chance to go win the game.
Yeah, there is no excuse for that. Like,
it was a horrible call.
If I'm a Pitt fan, like, I don't look, overreactions and all that, but I would not have any confidence left in my coach if he did that. It's one thing if you're down six or, you know, six or five or four when you do that, right? Like, hey, we'll kick one field goal. We'll try to get the ball back. A field goal will win or get us into overtime. Mm-hmm. You said they're down seven, right?
They're down 7 points.
They've made a one-touchdown game,
Yeah, you still got to have a touchdown to win the game. Now, a touchdown would win you the game as opposed to tying it.
Yeah, but either way, you still have to score a touchdown.
It was a very conservative, very dumb kind of call. And then also...
Yeah, that's brutal. That's a really dumb call. And like I said, I know they just won the division, but that would take away any amount of confidence I had in Pat Narduzzi.
Yeah, and then D'Antonio, I'm sure you saw in the Arizona State-Michigan State game.
I actually didn't see any of that game either. I saw they lost. I saw they lost 10-7, right?
They lost 10-7, and basically what happened, they had a couple of plays left. They had like 11 seconds. They could have taken a shot at the end zone. They're down 10-7. D'Antonio elects to go ahead and kick the field goal with 11 seconds left. And I understand the chance of having a bad snap or whatever, you go ahead and do it on third down. Some coaches do that. But to me, with 11 seconds, really you got a shot at the end zone there instead of just going ahead and trying to tie it, plus leaving them time on the kickoff.
Now, where were they at on the clock when that happened? 11 seconds, and where were they at on the field?
They were probably the 30-yard line somewhere in there. To me, I just really thought they should have taken a shot, at least one shot, at least give it a chance. So you try to kick it, and they had a penalty after he made it, so they had to kick it again, and he missed by like 80 yards.
I want to say I saw that the refs came out and said they blew a call there. There should have been a roughing or a leaping. Somebody leaped over the center. That should have been a penalty that would have given them another chance. D'Antonio would have, back in the day, he would have faked that field goal. third down, fake it. That would have been a good call against Notre Dame.
Yeah, one of the
that was like with time expiring too. I want to say he threw a game winning fake field goal touchdown.
It's one of the great plays of the decade.
A new segment I just created called "Let's Talk About It." Let's talk about it. David Shaw and Mark D'Antonio. Maybe both those guys are vastly overrated at this point. Saw a stat. This comes from my friend Will Warren, and he got it from somewhere else. But since Michigan State made the playoff in 2015, Michigan State has had 33 Power 5 games. Okay? You with me? So yes. Since they made the playoff and, you know, peaked as Michigan State with Mark D'Antonio, they've had 33 games against Power 5 opponents. Would you like to take a guess at their record?
They've had 33?
33.
17 and 16?
I really thought you were going to come up with something that didn't equal 33 there. But, no, 15 and 18. He's lost.
That was close.
Yeah, you're close. You had him above 500. He is three games below 500.
I remember they had that one year after
brutal,
the like
three and
nine.
Yeah.
Horrible year. But, yeah, they have not been very good.
15 and 18 is bad.
That's, yeah, for their standards. I mean, that, you know.
Especially for Mark D'Antonio standards, you know, a guy that we thought was one of the top level coaches. We all kind of gave him that credit that we give Chris Peterson, right? Hey, you know, he might not have the talent all the time, but he maximizes it, and they're going to win games, and they're going to be tough and beat you.
Well, they always used to.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to realize, too, though, that division they're in, I would say top to bottom is the best division in college football, other than Rutgers and Maryland. Well, Maryland did have some momentum until Saturday, but
that's a real predictable loss, too, by them.
Yeah, a Temple. I mean, come on. I mean, what are you doing, Maryland? Anyway, but that division, since Harbaugh got there, you got Michigan there, which he's underachieved, but they're still really good every year.
They're top 15 team year in, year out.
Yeah, and Ohio State and Penn State, I mean, it's going to be hard to get above fourth in that division as Michigan State, you know? I mean, those are three pretty damn good programs ahead of you.
Mark D'Antonio and David Shaw, let's have a conversation about it. Overrated. I got Chris Peterson still on alert. I still got him on alert after losing to Cal.
I don't want to call D'Antonio overrated yet.
Okay.
Just because.
15 and 18 and against Power 5 teams.
But that's three pretty much built-in losses. I mean, that's three brutal games every year. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan.
Are you looking at that as Michigan State should be afraid of Penn State? That should be.
I'm not saying they should be afraid.
That should be a game you go ahead and look at and say that's a loss.
Well, no, you don't pencil it in. I'm just saying that's three games every year you know are going to be very, very difficult.
But to me, you should have a coin flip in Michigan and Penn State games. Like Ohio State, if you want to say you lose to Ohio State every year and maybe you beat them one out of every 4 or 5 years, whatever. They're on a different level. But if I'm Michigan State, I'm like, hey, we're just as good as Michigan. We're just as good as Penn State.
Well, at best, I say you split those games every year. Michigan and Penn State.
Sure, yeah. That's
So call that two losses over a three-year period. That's six losses.
That means he's 500 against the rest of the Big Ten, though. And not even the Big Ten, like Arizona State. You know what I mean? Like, this is 2 years in a row where Herm Edwards is beating him.
That would if he's 15 and 18. I was just thinking if you remove those six losses, that makes him 15 and 12, right?
Okay.
Which is still not great.
I didn't really follow along with the math.
I think it's a tough division.
Okay, so you're giving him a pass, 15 and 18.
I give him a little bit of a pass. Okay. It's not good enough. I'm just
sounds like Cody's on board with 15 and 18. All right.
I'm not a Michigan State fan. I don't want to say he's overrated.
Okay, so you're not ready to have the conversation yet. Or we had the conversation, but we're on different sides of the conversation.
I think I'm still cool with D'Antonio. I mean,
we started a dialogue. It's fine.
If okay. I'm a Michigan State fan, I'm probably starting to kind of question it. But I also look at my division. But then I'm still saying we've had success before. Why can't we be atop the divisions? I don't know. I'm starting to question it.
Keep talking some college football next. Let's talk sports powered by Lloyd's Electric.
My name is John Reed. And for years, people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day. and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
I don't know. I don't have any off the top of my head.
Okay, we're back. The podcast was, I've been doing good. I was trying, my computer froze, we're good. Trevor Lawrence, you worried at all about his turnovers? I mean, they dominated Syracuse. I mean, they killed him. 41-6.
I told you at the start of the year, I don't like him as much as everybody else does.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Like, do you feel vindicated by that? Because he hasn't been mistake-free. Like, he's not playing the same level of quarterback as Jalen Hurts has been so far.
No.
Now, I do think Trevor Lawrence is still better.
As an NFL prospect or?
As an NFL prospect.
Than Jalen Hurts?
Yeah. I mean, he's just taller, he's bigger, and he's athletic too.
Yeah.
Now, but I told you, like, to open the show, like, the, you know, Jalen Hurts is growing on me as an NFL prospect.
Trevor Lawrence is, I mean, he's the kind of guy that, to me, is going to be successful no matter what. At Clemson.
They just have so many playmakers.
Yeah, I mean, he's got weapons all around. I'm not saying he's not great. Like, you couldn't just plug anybody in there and they'd be good.
I mean,
but
they had Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant had those same weapons last year, and he wasn't explosive. You know what I mean? So, like you said, you can't plug anybody in there. But I do think you could plug any NFL quarterback in there, like any type of NFL prospect in there, and probably succeed. Like, yeah. Justin Herbert could come to Clemson and put up bigger numbers probably, right? Or just as big of numbers.
The thing is, you can probably say the same thing, though, about Jalen Hurts and about Tua versus the competition they're going against.
Yeah. I don't know what Oklahoma's receivers look like this year, but obviously Alabama's. I mean, Jerry Jeudy and whatever that new guy's name was that they unleashed, that freshman who runs a 4.3 that took that 6-yard slant route to the house. Like, yeah, they're both playing with elite receivers.
I mean, those guys, you know, I don't know who Oklahoma's are either, but they've got some. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got some.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, they're going into Texas and they're getting some of the best athletes out of there like they always do. So between those three, though, I just don't know who's really better. Like, to me, I don't know if you can tell who's better. I like Jalen Hurts the most, but I think it's because I like who he is. You know what I mean? And he's got that whole comeback story kind of thing.
Sure.
Whereas Tua, all those Alabama fans just, you know, Jalen Hurts lost a couple games, and they just, we want Tua. You know, and they're just so spoiled down there. And so, I don't know. I don't like Tua as much. I don't really like Trevor Lawrence because of just maybe something with his face, I think.
And the whole, like, he probably should be in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that hurts. That really hurts watching him play. And he kind of looks like Faith Hill. So I'm a Hurts guy, personally. And nothing against Faith Hill. I mean, she was, you know, in her time, she was, you know, one of the top country singers, female, that there were out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing against her. I'm just saying, comparatively, he looks a lot like her. So Jalen Hurts is my guy. I don't know what I'm not even saying. What were you asking me?
The argument. It's going to be fun to watch the narrative play out because, you know, we talked about Heisman in the offseason, right? And it was Trevor Lawrence versus the field. Right now, I would say the field has the edge. But it is going to be funny to watch the media kind of battle back and forth between Oklahoma fatigue, right? I mean, can you give the Heisman to a third straight Oklahoma quarterback? Can you do that? Like, you know,
I think it's kind of cool to do that.
Can you go from Baker to Murray to Hurts? I would say that people would be like, let's give it to somebody else. Let's change the narrative. But at the same time, I think that Jalen Hurts is like a college football beat writer's dream, right? I think when you're looking for narratives and storylines, if you cover college football, and usually the people voting for the Heisman, most of those guys are college football exclusive. Now, that's not always the case with the votes, but for the most part, they're college football purists.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to love the Jalen Hurts story of this guy, you know, didn't quit on his team last year. He stayed at school, and he became the backup and just kept working and graduated, and you know, he helped win the SEC championship, and then he was okay going back to the bench, and then
if you look at the three of them right now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, really, Tua's numbers are significantly better.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing the same thing he did last year, which is beat up on these teams that are no good. South Carolina, I know they're
Bama played.
They played Duke, nobody, and South Carolina. And I know South Carolina's an SEC team, but they're not good.
And who they played some scrub, right?
I mean, I said some nobody. So they went Duke, two. Some nobody,
yeah, okay.
South Carolina.
I thought you were saying Duke, some nobody,
yeah,
comma, gotcha. Some nobody,
gotcha.
Duke.
You could, you know. If the shoe fits, they can wear that one too.
And then Hurts has played against
Houston, UCLA, and some nobody, right?
So pretty comparable, I guess. Tua right now, 77%, just over 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, no picks. Hurts, 80%, 880 yards, 9 touchdowns, no picks. But then you look at Trevor Lawrence, he got 5 touchdowns and 5 picks,
yeah.
Only 60%.
Yeah, and it's not like Clemson. I mean, they played Texas A&M and Syracuse.
True, that's true.
But
better competition.
And Georgia Tech. So they haven't played a nobody yet, right? They've played three Power 5 schools, right? They played Georgia Tech to open the year on the ACC network, mm-hmm. Texas A&M last week, and then this week against Syracuse.
Which are all better than – I mean, Georgia Tech's probably no better than, like, South Carolina, Duke, you know, but comparatively, yeah, they haven't played a nobody. Still yet, Hurts and Tua have not thrown a pick, whereas Trevor Lawrence has 5.
But, yeah, either way, like, you know, the being sloppy with the ball has been – you know, people have started looking at that with Trevor Lawrence – but I will say, if you then you throw in the rushing yards, right? You were just doing passing yards, right?
Yeah, that's just passing yards.
Rushing yards, I feel like, will be a heavy lean towards Jalen Hurts. I'd say you had probably another 300 or so in there.
Yeah, let me go take a look.
You don't have to.
I'd like to.
Okay, I'll wait.
Jalen Hurts has 373 rushing yards and 4 TDs. He is actually the 8th.
He's got the 8th most yards in the country?
In the country. So he's the first quarterback, obviously, and he's only behind 7 running backs. So I'd say that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And then, so 373 yards, and then you got to go way down to find anything like Tua or Trevor Lawrence have done.
It is really frustrating talking about this. It's really frustrating.
Why is that?
I'm just tired of my team not having a quarterback, man. Like, neither one of my teams have a quarterback. I'm sick of it. It's a sport where you have to have a quarterback, and neither one of my teams have one. The Titans don't have one with Mariota, and the Vols don't have one with Garantano. They just don't, neither one of them.
There's just not that many of them to go around.
I mean, of the elite ones, sure, and, like, obviously we're talking about the elite ones, but, like, man. How do you not have a quarterback? Either one.
Don't most teams, though, probably say that? Like, don't most fans probably wish they had a quarterback? Who can you really point to that's like, we got a quarterback?
In college or NFL?
College. NFL, everybody's got at least a pro quarterback.
I mean, I don't know. Go through the SEC. Did that Helinski kid not look like a quarterback in South Carolina? I would say almost, you know, we came into this season, Cody, talking about how this might be the best quarterback class in the SEC's had since, you know, when they had Manziel and Murray and McCarron.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
Florida rolls out Kyle Trask, who hasn't started since middle school, and he leads an 11-point comeback on the road and looked pretty good. Like, he looked like he had a strong arm, made some athletic plays. I mean, sure, the lower tier teams, like Tennessee, I guess, doesn't have a quarterback, but I'd say the rest of the conference doesn't feel that bad about it. Just running through the East, I mean, Kentucky probably feels okay too. I don't think they lost that game because of their quarterback, right? They had Florida beat with a backup quarterback.
Who is Kentucky's quarterback?
It was Terry Wilson, then he got hurt, and then they had
They're not even showing the passing stats for Kentucky here. This is
they didn't throw one pass all game. They were just running the ball.
They didn't throw a pass?
They didn't throw one single pass. They just ran the ball the entire game.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Sawyer Smith is their quarterback. 23 of 35 for 267, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, they probably don't feel that good about him. He did throw a back-breaking interception when they had a chance to really blow him out. But it's just frustrating, man. I just want good quarterback play. How can a team like Tennessee, with all the resources, obviously we talk about recruiting, right? We talk about everything Tennessee offers here. How do they not have a good quarterback? How is, like, Garantano the best you can throw out there? And then I don't know if you really paid attention, but when you went to the bench, it's not like you had any talent there either. Like, JT Shrout looks like he should be playing baseball. I think he missed his calling. Maurer did some things. Showed some athleticism. Like, I think that guy could be something. And then, like, a team like the Titans, who, you know, drafted for 4 or 5 straight years at the top of the draft, like, how do they not have a quarterback?
You've got Tannehill.
Time to unleash him. Time to unleash him, Cody.
Is it?
Maybe.
I mean, what's it going to hurt?
Nothing.
Just throw him out there. See what happens.
Just try something different.
It's
just frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating, really, that a lot of teams won't try anything different. You know what I mean? These coaches get so – I guess it's the stubbornness of coaches. They think that they know best, and when anybody wants to criticize it, it's like they're more – maybe not all of them, but it's like a lot of coaches are more – like they're less willing to make a change once they start hearing criticism. You know what I mean? Because then, to me, I think they're looking at it like then the media wins, then the fans win. They don't want to be second-guessed.
Well, you had some quotes like that coming out from Jeremy Pruitt this weekend. Did you see him?
Yeah, I did see that.
And we said, you guys give yourself way too much credit?
Yeah, like your opinion matters or something?
Yeah.
Wonder if he's talking about just the media or the fans, too.
I'd say there's probably a little bit of both there, right?
Yeah, but I don't understand why coaches, like, ultimately, we all want the same thing. Fans and coaches... Maybe not media.
I would say most of the media. I mean, most of the media here. I mean, Knoxville's different, but there's been a huge swing just nationally too. Like, there are more fans and more entities that aren't trying to be unbiased. That they acknowledge, like, hey, things will go better at our radio station if Tennessee wins. We will sell more advertising. We will make more money. The journalists at Channel 8. You don't think they want Tennessee to be good so they get more CBS games and be able to sell the ratings of, hey, Tennessee's playing at CBS. Look at the ratings this did in Knoxville. Like, everyone.
Well, the idea is that the journalists don't care about ratings.
I know what the idea is, but I mean, you don't think VolQuest sells more subscriptions when Tennessee's good?
Yeah.
You don't think 247 sells more subscriptions? You don't think the Knoxville News Sentinel would sell more subscriptions if Tennessee was good? Like, we all act like we're supposed to be unbiased, but everyone realizes, or they should, that, hey, livelihoods are affected, and livelihoods could be much better if Tennessee was good.
I'm just saying most places separate their ad sales from their journalists.
They try to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in a subscription-based model, Cody, like, I mean, you kind of need the success to go along, especially if it's, like, going to get to the point where people check out. You know what I mean? Like, where it's just not even, like, a beautiful train wreck. If it's just like, hey, you're just boring and not good. That's something that kills business. So we can act like the media doesn't want Tennessee to win. We do. We obviously lean into it. We embrace it. Fan-run radio. That's why the audience likes us. I mean, you don't want to feel like your people you're listening to, your people you're reading, are just looking at people objectively and unbiasedly. You want them to feel like they care, too. At least I do. And there's been a huge shift with that nationally.
Yeah. I mean, look at Barstool compared to... Like, they're just about as big as ESPN on a lot of platforms.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I just don't know that when we're all looking at kind of the same goal, we all just want to win, don't we? Coaches, players, fans, throw the media in there too. Everybody just wants to win. So I don't know why coaches, a lot of times, I don't know why they have to be so stubborn and act like we're just crazy. Because we say maybe we should make a change at quarterback. I mean, can a regular guy not watch the game and see what's happening and say, well, maybe we could try a different quarterback?
Well,
is that insane?
I think that's the thing, though, is like we don't get to see what the other quarterbacks look like. You know what I mean?
No, I know.
Like,
what we're seeing
is that our quarterback position hasn't been playing well. We don't get to see how the other guys look in practice. And like I said, it's not like either one of those quarterbacks came in and looked great.
That's true, but we all also know that there have been several cases in the past, different teams who have just gone ahead and made a change when things weren't working.
Yeah.
And it's worked out.
I mean, here locally, I mean, you saw what happened when, I mean, they kept saying the same thing about Dobbs not being ready. And then
he
Dobbs,
wasn't good at practice,
and
right.
And Dobbs played and Dobbs balled out. And I would say,
some guys are better in the game.
And I would say, Germ, if you really feel that way, then maybe quit being such a jerk when it comes to media and let guys watch more practice. And if guys actually got to watch how the backup quarterbacks looked, the rest of the media could be like, hey, or, trust me, guys, you don't want to see this backup. He's not ready.
Or, Germ, here's another thought. Maybe you should have a backup quarterback that is ready for when your starting quarterback just isn't playing very well and everybody can see it, and maybe it's on you for not having a backup.
Also a good thought from Cody McClure.
Maybe.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. As we roll on, play some winners and losers of the weekend coming up next. He didn't make my winners list, but Josh Allen, King of New York.
Yeah, they've won in first time MetLife Stadium 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, first time an opposing team has won at the same stadium 2 weeks in a row as road teams.
Yeah, good for the Bills.
Same number of wins in MetLife as Eli Manning and Sam Darnold the past two seasons.
New York, man, they really just – they don't have anything right now besides the Yankees.
Yeah, and the Yankees are good.
Yankees are very good, but
Yankees are good.
I mean, that's all they got. I guess the Mets are okay, you know, but
the Mets did just enough to get their fans interested again before, so they could break their hearts and let them down again.
Yeah, the Nets are going to be good.
The Nets should be good. The Knicks
not yet though.
The Knicks seem like they're just kind of stuck in purgatory.
I think they're in hell.
You think they're just actually in hell? Yeah, yeah, you might be right on that.
I think they've gone straight to hell.
You might be accurate on that. They are just in hell.
Yeah. And then the Jets and the Giants, no good. No good.
You saw kind of what people's concerns was with drafting Saquon Barkley, right? I mean, the guy's been phenomenal. Like, he is the best running back in the league.
Yeah.
He is averaging 7 yards a carry, and they are 0-2, and he isn't doing anything to help them win games. And, like, it's not a knock to him. It's just like, hey, running backs don't do that. Running backs don't single-handedly win games in the NFL.
Well, and another thing with him, at least in terms of fantasy, which he ended up putting up over 20 points yesterday, so still a good day. But
most of it came in the first quarter, though.
Yeah. That's the thing. They're going to be down in so many games, they're going to be throwing the ball, you know? And it's going to be hard for him to get his in the second half of most of these games.
We're going to see Daniel Jones take over for Eli, though, right? I mean, that's coming soon, right?
That's got to, man. It's got to.
Not even because Eli's necessarily playing bad, but just because, like, why not? Like, what else do you have to look forward to?
I mean, it's overdue 2 years, I think. He had a couple of moments yesterday where they at least cheered for him instead of booing him. But
yeah, like I said, he hasn't even really been bad. It's just, like, they're just a bad football team, and at a certain point, you got to try to keep people coming to the stadium type of thing.
Are they supposed to get some receivers back at some point?
I mean, Golden Tate, but that's it.
See, the only one still out?
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard's back. Yeah, I mean,
it's not like the cavalry's coming, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. They don't really have a lot to look forward to.
It's just crazy because Saquon has been awesome. Saquon has been, like, as good, if not better than advertised, right? Whenever everyone said, oh, yeah, he's the best prospect in this draft class. Like, he has it. He does. He does have it, but it just doesn't lead to wins. 18 carries, 107 yards, and a touchdown, and, you know, they were never really in that game. I guess they tied it at 7, or they may even got up to a 7-0 lead, but the Bills dominated the second quarter, and the Giants didn't score again until garbage time.
When he finds a gap, though, I mean, he is probably my favorite running back to watch right now in terms of just how good he is.
Right.
But he, you know, it doesn't happen that often.
I just hate that we're wasting him, though.
I do, too.
And we are wasting him.
And there's nothing he can do about it, really, is there?
No.
I mean, he's just kind of stuck with the Giants.
I mean, they're not going to trade him because they're not going to get equal value. You know what I mean? Like, if they trade him, they have no stars left on the team, and no one's going to give up a first-round pick for Saquon Barkley type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in.
Although, like, I mean, I feel like for a good team, he might be worth a first-round pick.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that could take a good team to the next level.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I'm not in favor of spending first-round draft picks on running backs usually. But now that we know that how good he is and it actually translates, like if you had a good team and you traded for him, it might be worth it.
Yeah, some of these teams that are just good but they rely mostly on the quarterback, like, you know, he's kind of a game breaker. You put him in where could you put him right now? At Green Bay?
I mean, Jones is fine, but yeah, like, I mean, he would take them to another level. Imagine him with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Like, that would be an unstoppable offense.
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah.
The Texans. I mean, Carlos Hyde's been running good for now, but, like, you know, you need running backs.
Yeah.
The Eagles.
Put him in Kansas City.
Put him in Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah. Just take Damian Williams is nothing special.
Yeah, I mean, like, those guys are fine, but, yeah, it would just, you know, take the offense to another level.
God, him at Kansas City. Imagine that.
They don't need him. They just take all these no-name guys that are fast, and they make it happen. They make it happen.
Kind of like New England. I mean, they got Michelle. He's, you know, and James White are pretty good, but.
They don't need. Yeah, they just make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a special player. I hope maybe someday we'll get to see him succeed, you know, but.
For the first quarter and a half of that Packers-Vikings game, I felt like a genius. I had the Packers. I was pretty much the only person that had the Packers in any power rankings I read. I had them, you know, as my number five team, and I came out, I was like, first quarter, I was like, wow, 21-0, I might have undershot this. Maybe they are the best team in the NFC. Now, the rest of the game, they kind of just got stuck in the mud on offense, and the defense slowly gave way to the Vikings offense, but man, how bad was Kirk Cousins yesterday?
Well, he was bad, but he still threw for more yards than Aaron Rodgers.
It's not about yards, though. When you throw that interception he threw in the end zone.
Well, that's how you said that game was going to end. You remember?
Yeah.
It'll come down to Kirk Cousins needing to win it, and he's going to turn it over.
And he's going to throw a really terrible interception. A really, really terrible interception. 14 of 32, 230 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions.
Oh, yeah, he was awful.
And it sucks because, like, if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm like, the defense, pretty good. Dalvin Cook looks like a top five running back.
He's a good one.
Like, Dalvin Cook has emerged, right? Like, if you are starting to look at your top five running backs, it feels like Dalvin Cook is going to make that list this year.
I like him a lot.
He's explosive, and he's healthy. Obviously, you know that Thielen and Diggs are somewhere hovering around the top 10 wide receivers. You have the skill players. You have the defense. But your quarterback just won't get out of the way. And, I hate to say I told you so. I'm not one to pat myself on the back. But, I mean, I've been talking about Kirk Cousins being a loser for many years now. And it looks like the guy's just a loser. An historic type of loser, too. Like, one that loses games that other quarterbacks are supposed to win. 31 games against teams with a winning record in his career. 31 opportunities to beat a team with a winning record. He's done it five times. He is 5-26 against teams with a winning record.
Really?
5-26.
And that's in what situation?
Against teams with a winning record.
That's it. Kirk Cousins.
5-26 in his 31 games.
Oh, my God. Where's Case Keenum when you need him?
Balling out in Washington.
That's horrible.
And like I said, he is just a historic loser. Like, no one loses games the way he does. This is a long stat, so stick with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Vikings put up 7 yards per play and allowed 4.9 yards per play. So, you know, per play average, they were 2.1 yards better than their opponent. Mm-hmm. There have only been 13 games in the last decade in which the NFL, when the losing team was less than 7 yards per play and the winning team was over seven, less than five. There's been 13 of those games. Sorry, I messed this stat up. It was already confusing. 13 times in the last 10 years, Kirk Cousins has been the quarterback on the losing side three times since 2013. Like, it's just historic losing that he does when his team is otherwise really outperforming the opponent.
Yeah, because who would you rather have as a trio, Diggs, Thielen, and Dalvin Cook?
Nobody.
I don't think there's anybody.
Maybe you take Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, and like Sonny Michel, maybe. Or James White, maybe. But if you drop them anywhere besides New England, like, probably not going to. Like, if you took Diggs, Thielen, and Cook and put them on New England, I'm sure Brady would do more with them.
You might take Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and but then you got.
Then you got Williams.
Pick your running back, yeah. I guess.
When Kareem Hunt was there, you would probably say that.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, for sure.
They have maybe the best trio of skill players.
It's lethal.
In the NFL. And they keep finding ways to lose. Packers have to be feeling really good about their chances in that division, right?
Yeah, because the Bears just – there's zero offense there. I mean, that, you know.
You've already beaten them once on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You're 2-0 in your division. You're 2 games up. You've beaten the Vikings and the Bears. The Lions look okay, I guess. A little pesky.
Got a W yesterday.
That was a gutty win, too.
Yeah.
Gutsy win.
Chargers not looking great.
Chargers looked like the Chargers of old. Like, find ways to lose games, Chargers. Last year, they kind of shook that reputation and finally started winning games and avoiding the dumb losses. But week 2, they were right back to, let's find the most inexplicable way to lose this game. I love the early season in the NFL. We're still trying to figure these teams out.
Yeah, me too, because you just, first few weeks, you get to try to figure out, are they good? Are they overrated? Are they actually, you know.
I love this part.
Me too.
Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Let's see, do I need to shout anybody else out? I think I've hit all the live reads. You hit them all. Truly. Always Electric, my bookie. All right, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Jules, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
All right, Cody, hit me with your winners of the weekend. Who won this weekend?
All right, John, winner number 3, I'm going to go with the Citadel, pulling an overtime upset at Power 5 ACC Georgia Tech. Not a good day for Georgia Tech, but a good day for the Citadel. So a shout-out to the Citadel. Citadel, 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 Citadel. Good win for them. My number 2 winner, I got to go with the Patriots defense. I thought they were just incredibly impressive against the Dolphins.
Okay.
On Sunday, I know the Dolphins suck. I mean, but to pitch a shutout, you gave up 3 points last week. You gave up 3 in the Super Bowl altogether. That Pats defense, it's nasty. It's very good. And I got to, you know, I think they're good. 2 defensive touchdowns in the 4th quarter, and they picked them off, 4 times? Big day for them. And my number 1 winner, the L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams, who have not only won over my fandom, but a nice, decisive win on Sunday against the Saints. Rams looked like a pretty complete team to me in the second half. I like Jared Goff. I like their receivers. Cup, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks had a nice touchdown catch. I like their defense. Gurley's playing really well to start the year. Fan of the Rams right now.
All right, my winners of the weekend, number 3, Julio Jones became the all-time leading receiver with the Atlanta Falcons, had the big 4th down reception that led to a touchdown that won the game for the Falcons. Did you know, Cody? He has a receiving TD in 6 straight games. Longest active streak in the NFL.
Julio does?
Everyone made fun of him. He was a punchline for so long about how he doesn't score touchdowns. Joke's on you, buddy. 6 straight games.
Yeah, guess it's time to flip the narrative.
6 straight games for Julio Jones. Gotta be honest, though. I was a little bit disappointed in his breakaway speed. When he took that screen pass and started running towards the end zone at the end of the game last night, he made it.
He outran everybody.
He outran him, but I was expecting him to fly.
He's older than he used to be.
He's older than he used to be, and he's had some foot issues. I understand. I'm just saying. I wanted to see, Julio's really still got it.
How about Jake Matthews out there on the edge? Collinsworth was obsessed with that block he made. It was impressive.
I was a little worried that was a block in the back.
It did kind of look like a block in the back.
As someone who was rooting for the Falcons, I was a little worried they were going to call that a block in the back.
It kind of got him in the side. A little right hand was probably on the back of the shoulder pads, but, you know.
I was worried they were going to like review it and be like, actually, the pass was 1 yard in front of the line of scrimmage, so that's technically offensive pass interference. I was a little worried about both of those.
Yeah, worked out okay.
But Julio, he is the number three winner of the weekend. Number two, hey, shout out to Les Miles. How about that? How's that for a bounce back on Friday night as Kansas goes into Boston College and beats Boston College? Beats them down. Kansas.
What the hell?
You missed that on Friday?
Yeah, I thought they were losing.
They were, but they won, and then they just kept piling it on. Kansas.
What happened?
Kansas, man. Les Miles.
What happened to Boston College?
I don't know, but Kansas just started pouring it on them. Just took over that game.
Yeah, they would have been on my winners. I completely missed that.
Les Miles, he lost to Coastal Carolina the week before. Turns around, beats Boston College on the road.
Okay.
I want to say it's like their first Power 5 win in like 8 years, like on the road.
It's got to be.
Number one, the biggest winners of the weekend for me, black quarterbacks. Great weekend. Top of the NFL.
Yeah.
College football doing good there, too.
Cam and Jameis, not really, but.
I know.
Over the weekend.
I just look. I mean, they've faced a stigma for so long. They've had to deal with a lot of unfair stuff. They're dominating the league right now.
Lamar, Kyler Murray had another good game.
Yeah.
Is Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Dak, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Justin Fields balled out.
Is Dak black?
Believe so. Hit me with your losers of the weekend while I go tell my nephew to shut the hell up.
All right, number three loser for me, I got to go with Kentucky. I mean, how do you blow it like that? You got Florida beat. Again, you finally ended the streak last year. You dominate them the whole game. Your offensive line controls a lot of scrimmage, and you should have beat them. Kentucky's got the same thing going against them that we've had going against them. They could not make it two in a row, even at home, where they've been pretty good at Kroger Field. 13-4 since they renamed it before the Florida loss, and yet they take the L in disappointing fashion. Number two loser for me, Maryland, put up 79 points and then put up 63 points and then went and lost to Temple. The whole world was talking about you, Maryland. Everybody wanted you to be good. Everybody thought we had a new up-and-comer, thought Maryland was going to be something this year. They will not. They lost to Temple. And my number one loser over the weekend, I'm going to go with the Steelers. They really, really needed that game on Sunday against the Seahawks. They didn't get it, and now we learn Big Ben is out for the season. You combine those two things. You thought last year was the season from hell for the Steelers. It's going to be another one.
I don't want to pat myself on the back again. I don't like doing that, but it looks like 2 years in a row I've got the team that's going to have the season from hell. Last year I said it was going to be the Steelers, and sure, they still clawed their way to 9 wins, but it was a disastrous year, and they missed the playoffs, and then, of course, they run off Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. This year I said it was going to be the Saints, and it's early, but they're 1-1, and their quarterback's on the shelf for 6 to 8 weeks, so looks like the Saints might be having that season from hell, too, but yeah, the Steelers trapped in it right now, maybe for the second straight year.
The Ravens probably going to win that division.
Yeah.
I know it's week two, but
that shouldn't be surprising though. They won it last year.
No one
really talked about it in this offseason. It was usually like Browns or Steelers, and you're like, what about the Ravens? Don't really trust Lamar Jackson.
Didn't really give them enough credit. Again, it's week two, but we'll see.
And they haven't really played the toughest schedule: Dolphins and a home game against the Cardinals. But
probably the two worst teams in the NFL.
No, the Cardinals would go into New York and wax the Giants.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. They beat the Redskins, too, yeah. They're not – the Cardinals aren't one of the worst teams.
They beat the Redskins?
I said they would. They tie with the Lions in week one.
Yeah, they're down there, though.
They're like six or – like they're like five or six. I'm just saying that. I wouldn't call them number two. Either way. My losers already gave you one of them, number three, Kirk Cousins. Like I said, 5-26 against teams with a winning record. He's going to be the reason the Vikings missed the playoffs. Number two for me, same as you, Kentucky. Nothing new to add there. You had a chance to have your first home win against Florida in a long time, and you choked away an 11-point fourth-quarter lead. Did they get outscored in the fourth quarter 19-0? 19-0?
Well, it was 21-10.
And they lost.
What was the final?
They lost by 8, right? Florida scored a touchdown to win by 8.
Well,
19 to nothing in the fourth
29,
quarter.
29-21.
Yeah, that's not good.
Florida ended up covering.
Depending on when you got the points out. Right before kickoff, it was at 10, so they didn't cover that.
Well.
Was the original line was 7.5, I think. So if you took Kentucky early at 7.5, you messed up. That was a bad beat. Sorry.
That's tough.
They're my second biggest losers of the weekend. Number one for me, Cody, I am going with NFL officiating. Just another bad week for them. Really could just say officiating in general because it wasn't very good in college either. They had to apologize to Michigan State. We've talked about what happened with the Saints, right? The Saints got screwed again.
Yeah, and so many reviews. So many reviews, so many flags in a lot of these games. The officials are too much a part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much, too big a part of the game. It should be about the players and the coaching.
It feels weird that neither one has had the Saints on there. It feels like the Saints have to be a loser of the weekend, right?
I mean, they, yeah.
Not only did you lose, you got screwed, but you also, you know, your quarterback is done.
It's always easier to pick out the losers than it is the winners.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else we should add?
Oh, there's a lot of people you could add. Denver.
Yeah, Denver's 0-2, and they're staring, I think, a pretty tough schedule coming up in the face. So looks like they're done. It's about
– The Chargers.
It's about to the point where you can start riding some teams off. Now, it's just week two, so you can't all the way overreact. But I want to say only 12% of the teams that go 0-2 the first 2 weeks of the season make the playoffs, only 12%. So you're really fighting an uphill battle.
I told you that stat on Friday.
Okay, I was going to say someone told me that. That was you?
That was me.
You were all over it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, over.
I actually researched and created that stat all myself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just ran some numbers.
I saw it on Thursday Night Football.
Went into the database.
Yeah.
0-2 does feel like a hole to try to claw out of, right? It feels drastically different than being 1-1. That's why when the Titans lost, I was mad, but it wasn't the end of the world.
Still 1-1.
You just feel really bad when you're 0-2. You gotta really pull yourself up.
I actually kind of felt bad for the Titans fans yesterday because that's you should have had that, you know. It's just
I'm used
frustration.
To it. I do get mad about it. Like I've said before, the Colts are almost on the same level as like Florida for me, almost. Like I hate the Colts fan base, especially like the East Tennessee Colts fans.
Like Brandon.
Yeah, they just randomly decided to root for the Colts or, hey, Peyton's there, I'll go root for them.
I mean, I kind of understand it.
Nah, it's bandwagon. It's bandwagon.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good when Peyton was there, you know what I mean? Like, it's you're rooting for a winner. And then you stayed, even though they cut Peyton. So, like, what's up with that? You know what I mean?
I had Andrew Luck.
I know.
Might as well hang on.
I know. That kind of helps morph it into bandwagon, too. Like, hey, we got a generational quarterback. We'll stay on there.
I got to think, though, if you jumped on the bandwagon that long ago and you're still there.
Colts were good the entire time, though.
They had some bad times
with
Luck.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
if you're still a fan.
I'm talking about the transition from Peyton to Luck. Well, yeah, then it's hard to jump off, I guess, once you're committed to the new quarterback.
Could you not jump on a bandwagon with Peyton and then kind of fall in love with the other players? Like become a fan
of
the players?
Yeah, but they're all gone, bro. Like Marvin Harrison ain't walking through those doors.
Yeah, I know.
Reggie Wayne ain't suiting up and catching passes with Brandon Stokley next to him. You know what I mean?
Dallas Clark.
Dallas Clark's gone. Bob Sanders, remember that safety that was always hurt but was really good when he played?
Dwight Freeney.
Yeah, those guys are gone. You know what I mean? Robert Mathis is gone too, all of them.
It was a fun team to watch, though.
It's a fun team to root against. Always got to feel good in January whenever they would inevitably lose in the playoffs as a favorite.
With Peyton?
Yeah. I rooted
you
against
never
him.
Rooted for Peyton?
I root against him hard.
Really? Always?
Got to be honest. Is this a safe space?
Oh, yeah.
I rooted for the Bears in that Super Bowl.
Wow.
And then Devin Hester turned that opening kickoff. I remember. Oh, baby, here we go. No, they lost.
So did you enjoy seeing Peyton lose 43-8 when he was with Denver?
No,
no.
I rooted for Peyton in Denver.
Then?
I support him in Denver.
Okay. So it's just a Titans thing.
It's a Titans-Colts thing. It's a rivalry. It's a division opponent. I was happy to see Peyton make 2 Super Bowls in Denver.
So you like the Titans more than you do Peyton Manning?
Yes, that is 100% accurate.
Fair enough. I mean,
100% accurate.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Not even close, really.
Yeah. No problem for me. I mean, I don't know how, you know, other people feel about it, but
I don't care how they think.
Yeah, who cares, right?
I don't care what they think.
Yeah. Wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I have my convictions.
Just you. We all got what we prefer.
By the way, Peyton's retired, so I mean, like, no putting the cat back in the bag, you know what I mean?
Got a big forehead on him, too, doesn't he?
I don't feel like the cat in the bag thing worked there, but let's just go to break, Jules. Last call on the other side.